This meeting is now being recorded.
Okay, can we have the next slide, please? Our agenda today is closure on plans for the Johannesburg meeting, a quick final review of the Madrid meeting and agenda, and the bulk of the call will be taken up by a briefing on IANA PTI by ICANN staff, and then we'll have a few minutes at the end for other business. Any comments on the agenda? Any issues people would like to raise before we dive in? Hearing none. Any updates on statements of interest? I know we have an apology from Jeff Houston. Any other absences or apologies to note? Okay. Hearing none, moving on to the Johannesburg meeting. Could we have the next slide, please? So, although the meeting in Johannesburg had always been on the list of meetings put there initially by staff and agreed to early on by the team, the then uncertainty interjected by confusion, apparently, among the SOEC leaders and staff about the rules for the meeting, I think caused enough confusion that people's schedules became more fluid. So we did a quick poll, and thank you for participating to get a head count. We're now faced with 5 of the 16 members of the team able to participate if we hold the a team meeting June 24 and 25, and 9 team members able to attend a team meeting, less than half if we hold it on June 25th and 26th, 26th being the first day of the ICANN Johannesburg meeting. So I'd like to open the floor for any opinions you'd like to share, suggestions. What we're faced with now is going forward with a team meeting on June 25 and 26 with less than half of the team members able to participate in person, or alternatively, pick another date and location in July that works for a majority of team members. I'd like to take a cue and encourage you to share your input. Any thoughts? Anyone feel strongly that we should or should not meet in Johannesburg at this point? I think Mohammed comes down on the side of scheduling the meeting at a later date. Don and then Alon?
Yes. And I'm going to do something I hate when people, can you hear me? This is a new setup.
Yes, go ahead, Don.
Okay, great. I was initially thinking that close to half, that a little over half would be sufficient, but if there is a possibility of finding another date where more people can attend, I think that would be the best route.
Thank you, Don. Elaine? If you're speaking, there you go.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I think for the Johannesburg meeting, I think we should consider two things. One is, okay, we come to the meeting, we interact with the community, and because this is happening in Africa, I think it gives us opportunity to meet the global community, but also the African community. In that sense, I can see having a meeting in Johannesburg as a good opportunity. On the other hand, if we meet in Madrid, okay, which I consider to be our starting point, we will have enough material to discuss in Johannesburg.
Was that a question for us?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, in my opinion, we will have plenty to discuss. I think that is a statement I'd make across the board for the team to meet. We have, I think, a great deal of work ahead of us. Are there other comments, perspectives? There's a suggestion by Zarko in the chat room to defer till we get together in Madrid later this week. And Boban agreed with that. Any other comments or thoughts on that? Staff, can you give us some input on how pressing the timing is for making pulling the trigger on Johannesburg in terms of travel arrangements and meeting rooms? Do we have time, in other words, to decide this weekend?
It's Jennifer here. I understand that it's fairly pressing at this point. For meetings team to be able to make arrangements for us to set the room up and find the space.
So we can or cannot defer until this weekend.
I think I'd say not. I'd say if you could make a decision today, that would be preferable.
Okay. Kathy, you have your hand up?
Yeah, I think I don't know if, I don't want to offend anyone when I say this, but I don't know how many people on this list are used to going to ICANN meetings, but the longer we decide to wait till the next meeting, the fewer hotel rooms there and the fewer flights. I've got mine done, and right now, just a guess with my schedule, which I know is it's only my problem, but I don't have a free week in the month of July for traveling. And I think it's really important that this get, you know, we decide if it is felt, as you said, that we'll have plenty to do, then, you know, we make a decision. We can't keep putting it off. Thanks.
Thank you. Elaine, do you have your hand up to speak?
I was supposed to take my hand down, but I put something in the chat room. I put the calendar showing that there is no ICANN meeting in Africa next year. So if we meet Johannesburg, that means we're missing the opportunity to interact with the ICANN in Africa. So I don't know how important is that, but I just, so it's up to the team to decide.
Thank you, Elaine. Any other comments on this? All right. I think...
Yes? It's done. got my hand up. I don't know if it's showing up there.
No, I'm sorry. I missed that. Go right ahead.
Okay.
And then James, I see, after Don.
So, I agree, for purposes of getting our reservations and all that done, I'd hate to put the decision off any longer. If we stick with, well, I'll take that out of the equation. I'm coming through FSAC, but I'm already getting bite back from I can't travel, but we need your information. I tell Rob and our decision on the direct meeting. My thought is I think we should decide today. Not put it off essentially another week.
Yeah, thanks, Don. Jane?
So, same as Don, I think we should try and get this done today, and I just want to put a note in that if we decide not to meet in Johannesburg and we want to set a new face-to-face set of dates, for me, just speaking personally, I'd need those by, like, this weekend to reschedule those into my day job work schedule. You know,
I'm sorry, you need those. I missed that part, James. I'm sorry, James. Could you repeat that last part? Did we lose James?
I believe we may have lost his audio. He was mentioning that if we're going to reschedule for another date, that he would probably need to know those new dates by this weekend, so he can schedule it with his day job.
Okay. All right. In the interest of time, then, thank you for all your. Is there anyone else before I close off the conversation on this? The co-chairs will confer, and also touch base with staff then and make a decision and get back to the list. Thank you, everyone, for your forbearance as we work through this. Next item on the agenda, please. Next slide, please. Could you post the agenda for the Madrid meeting? So yesterday, an updated Madrid meeting schedule and agenda was posted to the list. We just wanted to give team members a chance to ask any questions they may have and offer any comments or edits they may have to the agenda. You'll recall that we're spending Friday in the ICANN DNS Symposium as audience members. Significant amount of topics covered there relevant to our work. So that's a briefing rich environment for team members. And then we have the technology officer staff and SSR staff for Sunday morning, essentially. So we've front-loaded the agenda to address our mandatory objective of assessing the implementation of the SSR 1 report and assessing its effectiveness or impact. Are there any comments on the first day of the Madrid agenda? So in addition to the SSR 1 briefing, you'll note that we also included, given the packed DNS symposium agenda and the numerous issues relevant to our work that are being raised there, we thought it would be useful and had received the suggestion that we use the first agenda item to have a broader discussion about the threat landscape and also use it as an opportunity for follow-up questions that people may have from the DNS symposium the day before. You'll notice the symposium schedule is quite packed, not a lot of time for questions. So we've got that, then the in-depth briefing on the discussion on the SSR 1 implementation, then our reflection discussion about that, our decisions about next step. Are we creating a subgroup to go in depth on these? How do we want to handle the next steps? And then a more of a briefing and discussion about the Identifier Technology Health Indicators program with staff to round out that day. And then on the second day, will be a focus on the team's work with a build-out of how we'll be conducting our work, build-out of our work plan. James has provided on the list, thank you, James, the first draft of what might be a subgroup of approach to our work. And we have time for more in-depth subgroup discussions, as well as a discussion on outreach plan and an agreement on next steps. Happy to take a cue if there's any items that people want to discuss. Also, through the end of today, we're happy to take any additional comments or edits on the email list as well. Any comments on this before we move on? Okay. Then we'll move on to the IANA PTI briefing. We have slides loading. We have Sam Eisner, who's ICANN's Deputy General Counsel, and Elise Gurek, who's the VP IANA Services and President of the Public Technical Identifiers. I'll turn this over to you, Sam and Elise.
Thanks, Denise. This is Sam Eisner. I'm Deputy General Counsel with ICANN, but I'm not necessarily here today as a lawyer, but from my role of working with ICANN during all phases of the proposal development as well as implementation of PTI, because we wanted to give you kind of the general PTI-ICANN relationship overview so that as you're launching into your work, you can understand what has changed and what hasn't changed by PTI becoming part of the ICANN landscape. And then Elise is here. She's joining us on the phone from the Wright meeting. And so if we have more technical questions, she'll come in. But given the time zones and everything here, I've agreed to take on the bulk of the conversation, but she's here to support if we need it. So I have just a few slides. And then if you have some questions at the end, I'd be happy to take it. And it might be easier if you guys could make me a presenter, and then I can move the slides on my own. Perfect. Thanks. So here, this is really the landscape. I know there's a lot of things on this page, but this is the landscape of the world that was envisioned through the ICG's proposal. And this is what ICANN was implementing to when we developed PTI and the structure of contracts and subcontracts and oversight groups that have been put together. And again, this slide deck is available to you, so this will be here. And we'll go through each one of these parts in a little bit more depth through it. So what is PTI? So it's called Public Technical Identifiers. And it is an affiliate of ICANN that's responsible for performing the IANA functions and delivering the IANA services on behalf of ICANN. And then PTI also does not have any policy setting role. PTI is only responsible for the implementation of agreed policies and principles developed through the multi-stakeholder community. And so the policy roles that come out of the different communities remain the same. And ICANN's role in relation to those policies remain the same, and ICANN gives direction to PTI as to which policies it is supposed to apply to its work or not. And so you see here just the most general view of PTI and ICANN, which is PTI and ICANN have a contractual relationship. It's contracts that form the basis of all the direction of the work that ICANN is asking PTI to do. A general overview of PTI on a few different axes are, first of all, legal. It's a nonprofit public benefit corporation set up in ICANN. We are applying for 501c3 tax status for PTI under ICANN's tax exempt status because ICANN is PTI's sole member. That's a very legal issue, but it means that ICANN has a lot of power to direct PTI's work. And so ICANN, as we'll discuss later, is responsible for the selection of PTI board members. It's a little bit of an exception. And it's really responsible for making sure that PTI does everything that PTI says that it will do. So it has a few things it has to do uniquely. So under California law, PTI has to have its own independent financial audit. But otherwise, much like ICANN, PTI has an annual budget that's developed in consultation with the community. It then gets put into ICANN's IANA budget. It has a four-year strategic plan that will be updated annually. And we would see that process happening a lot like we have our ICANN strategic planning process. What does PTI do? We'll get into that into a little bit more depth, but PTI performs the IANA function. It performs the naming, protocol parameters, and number services via contracts and subcontracts with ICANN. And it relies on ICANN through a services agreement to provide all of the resources required to perform those services. And so really when PTI forms a budget, the reason that it's part of the ICANN budget as well is because ICANN is obligated for funding and providing the resources so that the IANA functions are performed as expected. The board is comprised of five directors. We'll get a little bit more in depth in the composition of the board in a bit. It also has three officers appointed by the ICANN board. I also serve as the secretary of PTI, but again, that's not the role that I'm here talking to you in today. And then in terms of staffing, there's no change in the personnel performing the IANA functions from September 30th, 2016, which was the date prior to transition, to October 1st, 2016 or today. Same people who were within the ICANN IANA department other than natural changes in personnel that might happen. The people within the IANA department have been seconded to PTI, so they actually still work for ICANN at this point, and we've assigned them as part of their roles of working with ICANN to work with PTI and perform the IANA functions there. So there's very little change. So you'll see on this slide what stays the same. So what the IANA functions are has stayed the same. The registries that the IANA functions maintain have stayed the same. The individuals performing the work have stayed the same. Where they perform the work has stayed the same. And also the methods for submitting changes and updates and working with our customers, for the most part, have stayed the same, other than some of the minor changes that have happened through the development of service level expectations or agreements directly with a particular customer. So at the really high level overview for those who have been pretty ingrained in ICANN's work, so for each of the three IANA functions, the domain names, numbering resources, and protocol parameters, you can look at this and see who's responsible for the oversight. So that top level oversight, for the most part, was fulfilled by NTIA through the IANA functions contract prior to October 1st. But with the transition, what happened was that oversight was provided directly to the operational communities instead. And so on the domain name side, there's a customer standing committee, or CSC. Numbering resources community uses a review committee. And the protocol parameters community uses the IETF and the IAB leadership to provide that direct oversight to make sure that PTI is performing the IANA function in a proper manner. The policies that relate to each of these IANA functions are still done in the same place. So policies developed for domain name within ICANN as set out in the ICANN bylaws for both the GNSO and the CCNSO. The ASO is still responsible for development of policies for the numbering resources. And the IETF is still responsible for setting the policies around the protocol parameters. The main area of change is in operations. So instead of PTI being responsible, oh, someone is moving my deck. Sorry. Okay, so going back to operations, so PTI performs the domain name function directly through the IANA naming function contract that it holds with ICANN. The numbering resources community through the NRO has contracted directly with ICANN for the performance of the numbering resources. Then ICANN subcontracts that obligation to PTI. And also the IETF and the IAB have contracted directly with ICANN to perform the protocol parameters work, and ICANN then subcontracts that responsibility to PTI. And so here are different ways to represent that, and I'm not going to walk through each of the boxes on these slides. You have them to look at, and if you have any other questions, we can talk through them today. You can also contact me orally separately. But what each of the series of slides shows is where the relationships come from. So PTI through ICANN has a contract, and that's that if you look at the dark blue box on your screen or the dark blue dialog box, it's pointing to some papers between PTI and ICANN. So that's where PTI is empowered to do the protocol parameters work. And ICANN is empowered to do that because of the agreement that it holds with the IETF directly. And so there's a subcontracting agreement. Same thing with the RARs and PTI. There's a contract that ICANN holds with the RARs to ICANN, and then ICANN subcontracts that to PTI. Now, the TLD community or the naming community is the only place where we don't have a subcontract between ICANN and PTI, but the contract. So this is a main contract as required out of the ICG proposal. This is the main contract that is the basis of the reason that PTI was formed. So if you look back at the ICG proposal, the only community that required its work to be performed for the IANA function through PTI and affiliate was the naming community. And then each of the other two communities agreed that it would be okay for ICANN to perform their work through PTI, but would contract directly with ICANN to do so. And then the relationship of the CSC that you'll see this box here. So the CSC, as we saw on the previous slide, provides the oversight of PTI's work. However, the CSC is developed in ICANN's bylaws, and ICANN relies on the CSC's oversight role over PTI because any escalation of issues within PTI necessarily also has to touch ICANN at some place because ICANN, in its bylaws, remains responsible for making sure that PTI performs to its contractual obligations. That has actually been a place where the community asked for ICANN to be able to be taken to an independent review if ICANN does not make sure that PTI lives up to its contractual obligations and the performance of the naming function. And the independent review, for those of you who are not familiar, is a place where ICANN is establishing a standing panel. We don't have that put in place yet, but in the meantime, there's general arbitrators who would be available for that, would take a look to see if ICANN was meeting up to that responsibility. So it's essentially a judicial function over ICANN.
Hey, Sam, if I may just quickly interrupt.
Of course.
For team members, especially those new to this environment, please feel free to raise your hand or post something in the chat if you have questions. And does anyone have any questions at this point regarding the information that Sam has covered thus far? And please feel free to just speak up if I missed your hand. Okay, go ahead, Sam. Thank you.
Thanks, Denise. And there are just a couple other slides, so we will have some more time available for questions. The next is the relationship between VeriSign and PTI. Many of you may know that VeriSign has been performing the root zone maintainer role historically for a very long time and was part of a three-party agreement between ICANN, NTIA, and VeriSign for serving in that role. So in relation to the naming function, when ICANN would receive a request to change the information in the root zone, ICANN would process that, but that request would then have to go to NTIA for approval and verification, and then NTIA would have to send the note to VeriSign that VeriSign could actually implement the change in the root zone. So in the post-transition environment, NTIA is no longer part of that root zone maintainer environment. And so now the contract is directly between ICANN and PTI. So ICANN still processes the request for changes to the root zone, and VeriSign is still responsible for publishing those changes into the root zone. And that's achieved directly through a root zone maintainer agreement that's held between ICANN and VeriSign. So those are the gold color boxes that you see on your screen. And then because that operation is so inherently tied to the performance of the IANA naming function, ICANN has subcontracted to PTI most of its obligations under that root zone maintainer agreement so that ICANN doesn't become another place for a check within the needs for changes to the root zone environment. So that's another place where ICANN is relying on and providing resources to PTI to perform this work on ICANN's behalf. And then there's one other key agreement between ICANN and PTI, which is a services agreement. And so the services agreement is where the obligation for ICANN to provide services to PTI, including funding and very specific things about resourcing and technical resources and systems, et cetera, and staffing and all of those things. That is where that obligation between ICANN and PTI are laid out. So this agreement really doesn't touch on any requirements about the work that PTI does, but is really the commitment of how ICANN will make sure that PTI is supported in doing its work. And so then we turn to the PTI board. So currently the PTI board is made up of five directors. They are all appointed by ICANN as the sole member. However, based on the proposal that came out of the community, two of those directors are actually nominated through the ICANN nominating committee. So currently today we have Lisa Fuhr and Jonathan Robinson, who on an interim basis were identified by the stewardship group that was developing the proposal for the naming functions, and the ICANN nominating committee is at this point going through a process to identify the two board members who will be seated on a more permanent basis on the PTI board. And then ICANN has the opportunity to seat three of the board members itself. One is reserved to the president of PTI, which Elise is, and that's so she's on the board in ex officio capacity. Then Akram Atala and David Conrad have both been named. And then I think I have one more slide, and then I'll go to the questions. So really, this is just kind of the general, where do you go, who do you contact? So this information is available for you to look at and see. So we have Mr. Matagoro in the room who has a question. What is the impact of moving the IANA services to PTI? How will this be monitored? What is the, and the question is duplicated in there. So there are many ways to answer the question here. And the base expectation right now is that there's actually very minimal impact to the customers of the IANA function based on the moving of the IANA services to PTI. There have been things that PTI has had to do in its own name, such as PTI has obligations through the IANA naming function agreement, as well as the separate agreements that have been subcontracted about the numbering and protocol parameters, about maintaining up-to-date security protocols, et cetera. But those are actually already things that were in existence. For the most part, when the ICG proposal came out, much of it was based on the fact that the communities were actually very satisfied with the IANA services that they were providing. And so the intent was to create very minimal impact, if any, on the services that, that the customers receive. And so it's far more of an administrative impact at this point within ICANN to have and maintain a separate affiliate and to make sure that we have the understanding of the lines of where PTI and IANA start and stop. Now, the work that PTI does is very importantly monitored and overseen by the customers. And so each of those customers are now directly empowered to provide that oversight. And so instead of the NTIA's general oversight role before the transition, now that we have the transition concluded and the IANA naming functions agreement gone, now we have three separate agreements through which there is operational oversight, each tethered to the different communities' needs and based on the delivery of service-level agreements or service-level targets that have been agreed between ICANN and PTI and the customers, and ICANN is responsible, PTI is responsible in the first part for delivering that, and ICANN is responsible for overseeing that. So the big change is actually in the monitoring process and not in how the services are delivered. Elise, do you have anything that you want to add to that? I don't know if you're able to speak.
Hi, Sam. This is Elise. Yeah, thank you. I think you did a good job. Basically, whatever PTI does, it's on behalf of ICANN, and ICANN has, through the communities, created these service-level deliverables or targets, and it's ICANN, along with those communities, that monitor what PTI does. I don't know if that is just a much more simpler way of the better description that you gave, Sam.
Right, Denise?
And all the reports are posted publicly.
I'm sorry, Elise, what was that?
And I just said, and all the reports that go both to ICANN and to the community are posted publicly.
Great. Yes, I do have a question. Do you have more slides and more basic material, Sam? Or I could wait until you're done. Okay, great. So, Elise, could you speak a bit more about the more security and stability related reviews, assessments, work that that is done in relation to IANA's responsibilities? In other words, I understand the service level agreement, and I understand the key customers reviewing that. How long does it take to get my, CCTLD change request processed and various things like that. But in terms of system-wide security and stability or specific security and stability-related issues raised by GTLDs or just other aspects of an evolving Internet, where does that come into play in terms of the structure and processes that are currently in place?
So part of the past as well as the current security and stability of the systems is one of the services that are provided by ICANN themselves and through the service agreement with PTI. And one of the ways that we assure or monitor those and provide documentation of that is through what are called service organization control reports, the SOC 2 reports that are done by a third-party auditor. And these are audits, not financial audits, but audits of systems and processes. And this is, looks into the security of our systems as well as the processes used to provide the services. And those systems are owned and outsourced, basically, from ICANN to PTI. So we leverage the services of ICANN and to deliver, or rather, ICANN delivers those services on ICANN systems, and it's the SOC 2 audits that we do, and the SOC 3 also, that we do annually that assure that the stability and security and of the systems are intact. I hope that's what you're asking, Denise.
I think in part, it would be great if you could send the team examples or links to the SOC 2 and SOC 3 reports and also explain the difference between 2 and 3. And then just a quick clarification before we go to, I see Emily has her hand up. The audits are an audit of activities that have occurred in the past. Is that correct? I mean, essentially they're auditing things.
Yes.
How services have been provided.
So typically the audit runs from December 1st to the end of November annually. This year, because of the introduction of the affiliate PTI, the audit ran until the end of September. The new audit will audit the period starting October 1st, which is when PTI was established. And so we'll have a full year of PTI's operations under the service agreement with ICANN. And as I said, most of what the services agreement offers is that it provides the systems that we use for delivering the IANA services, such as the Root Zone maintainer system, the registries that we post, things of that nature.
Thank you. I'll take my request for SOC 2 and 3 reports offline. And Emily, you have your hand up?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you well.
Okay, I'll try speaking up a bit. Thanks for the presentation. So I just have a simple question. Were you expecting our review to look into the PTI?
Did you get that, Elise? You need me to restate it?
Let me repeat what I thought was said. Are I expecting that the SSR2 will review PTI? Was that the question?
Right. Was that yes? Was that your expectation?
No. My expectation is that the SSR2 will be reviewing ICANN's delivery of the IANA services, because ultimately ICANN's responsible, and that will include what mechanisms ICANN has put in place to make sure that the services are delivered adequately. That may include evidence from ICANN as to how the service is delivered, but I do believe that's the way I expected the SSR2 review to go.
So you would expect this review to inquire about matters affecting the root zone?
Correct. I expect it to be of ICANN delivery of the IANA services and the security of the delivery of all those services.
Because there's been a change in the whole setup, that there was some anxiety that we would be overstepping if we inquired about matters relating to the root zone. What would be
I guess I can't speak too much of the scope of your review. I think it's pretty well defined, isn't it, in your charter?
Yeah, well, the bylaws are quite detailed, but they don't actually address this question.
So Emily,
I guess I don't really know how to answer your question.
Hey, Emily, this is Sam, if I could come in. So I don't know that the question of how much or how little the SSR2 would look at PTI would ever really came up. I know from my experiences with the CCWG, because I was very involved with the accountability group even more so than I was with the CWG. And I know that James is here, and James has his hand up, and he was actually very active in both groups. I don't recall that there was ever any conversation amongst the community about expectations of what would happen with the SSR2 review that the CCWG accountability was asking to be brought into the bylaws alongside the CWG's work on the development of PTI. And indeed, I don't even recall it was identified as one of the contingencies between the two or that anyone had considered that it would have an impact on it. So it, you know, prior to the SSR2 conversation, I'm not sure that we had a lot of internal discussions. I'm not aware of any that we're talking about whether or not PTI and the fact that it performs the IANA functions that are actually ICANN's obligations, whether PTI would be in or out of an SSR2 review.
Thank you, Sam. Emily, did that address your question? Did you have? Okay, I see you've typed.
Yeah, I
thank
think
you.
It's
Jane.
Helpful
yep.
To have the, you know, to the comments about ICANN's obligations. I mean, so what I've picked up from your presentation is that, as with any subcontracting arrangement, ultimate responsibility for delivery of the services rests with ICANN, regardless of who or what it decides to, you know, what organisation gets the subcontract. So ultimately, if we're looking at ICANN delivery or scope of responsibility or, you know, stability or security issues as they relate to ICANN's obligations, that would seem to be very comfortably within our purview. But it's useful to know that it was never really discussed. So thanks for that.
Thank you, Emily. Jane, the floor is yours.
Thanks, Denise. Hopefully you can actually hear me this time. I think you can.
Yes.
So, hey, Sam. I have a couple of questions that might clear all of this up. So, basically, what we want to do when we incorporated the AOC reviews into the bylaws of these new specifics was replicate them as they existed in the AOC. So now that we have the operational work being done by PI, my concern is that I want to ensure that the SSR review is not inadvertently de-scoped by that movement. So there are some questions that you might be able to clear up. For example, were any of the assets to do with the routes on maintenance system, the key management facilities, all of the key pieces of the route zone management process, are they entirely encapsulated in the services agreement that ICANN is providing to PTI, or were any of those transferred from ICANN to PTI as assets, which would then de-scope them from us if we exclude PTI from our scope, for example?
Thanks, James. I'll start, and I'll let Elise come in if she has anything else. There's been no transfer of assets between ICANN and PTI. So the services agreement that I posted a link to a little bit earlier in the chat covers ICANN's obligations to provide those services to PTI. So there's nothing that PTI holds as assets. There have been no transfers like that. Elise, did you have anything to add on that?
No, Sam, I think you've covered it adequately. Thank you.
And then did you have
perfect.
Additional
and then
questions?
A quick follow-up then. So there are, yeah, just one other follow-up more from the documentation and policy side. So, for example, in CWG, one of our requirements that we laid out was the replacement of C C7.3 in the ILO functions contract, which was the planning and contingency planning around transition to successor functions operators, and also around the continuity and disaster recovery planning. Does that, from a technical and security point of view, still then rest all on the ICANN side? And if so, you know, is this something that is just, again, provided as a service to PTI and thus would still be in scope for us under SSOR?
So I can answer contractually as to what's there. So that the IANA naming functions contract between ICANN and PTI for the performance of the naming functions includes a includes, so for those who weren't involved in the transition proposal work, the CWG that James was active on actually came up with a list of clauses that were in the IANA functions contract with NTIA that it felt were essential to have carried over into any agreement between ICANN and PTI. And so I've just dropped in a link to that IANA naming functions contract between ICANN and PTI, and things like that continuity planning requirement is now a contractual obligation between ICANN and PTI. And so ICANN must make sure that PTI has this document or else PTI is in breach of the contract. So the obligation for this document to exist still rolls up to ICANN because it's one of the places where ICANN could be held accountable by the ICANN community for failure to enforce its contract. But, you know, through because of the contract, it actually is an obligation of PTI to make sure that it has this document too. Elise, do you see that the same way?
That answers me perfectly.
As he said, I think you were absolutely perfect, Sam. Thank you.
Are there other questions? Jabira Matagoro, was the question you typed in the chat answered sufficiently? Do you have any follow-up to that? Or anyone else, are there any other questions for Sam or Elise? Okay. Thank you, Sam and Elise, for joining us today and providing this briefing. We really appreciate it. If you could work with the team staff to post this background information in the we'd like to park it on the team wiki under the background section, both the slides, the links that were discussed today. We'll follow up separately on the reports that are not public, but for which team members may want access to, and any other information that you think would be relevant to the FSR's work as we consider IANA and PTI. It would be great to have you add that to our background material in the wiki. Okay. All right, that brings us to all other business on our call. I'd like to open the floor to any other questions or issues people have on or off the agenda. And anyone who's come in late that would like to address any of the topics. Kathy, do you have your hand up?
Yes, I just have a quick question. Back to the decision on the Joburg meeting. Do you know when we can expect a decision from the chairs and staff or whoever's making it? Thanks.
Yes, I think... I would like to just confer with Emily and Eric
right after the call, make sure that our sort of questions have been resolved, and then posted a decision on the list. Are there any other questions or issues people would like to address on this call? Okay. Thank you. Thank you all for joining. We'll have safe travels to Madrid. Hopefully everyone can make the CNS Symposium meet and greet. That's scheduled for Friday at 6:30 in the Florencia room of the Venue Hotel. Look forward to seeing most of you there. And if there are no other issues, we'll end the call. Thank you, everyone.
Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.